Welcome, welcome to our second episode of the Cacao with Pranamol podcast.
Wow, I can't believe we finally are sitting in the loft of our house again, almost ready to move in. Episode number two. Could you imagine a year ago that we would be sitting here doing this?
Well, for me, it's actually rather more surprising that we didn't do it earlier. However, it's also not very surprising because I think oftentimes we humans, we like to have many ideas and then we don't really put them into action.
Why is that? I mean, for example, this podcast and this house, both these visions are something that we pretty much saw so clearly and deliberately to do, though in your opinion or what you feel, why do you think it takes humans so long?
I think it depends. There might be different reasons. For example, I wanted to do a podcast even way before we met. And I attempted it, but I never really did it. And I had different ideas, and I could have done one by myself. But I think it's just the right opportunity had to come, and the right theme and the right, you know, purpose, intention. Like, and you were kind of missing in that vision. Mm. So then we met, and it took us a while because reason number two, we had different other things going on, and that's what always happens, you know, so much stuff, so many things going on, different things you deal with, and then you always push it off, put it off, and push it out.
It's so interesting you say that too, because I know for myself and also for many friends and clients that I've coached, it's like you have this, or we have this idea that's consistently there, like the big vision, being a musician on stage or having getting a certain training out into the world or launching a podcast or another piece of art, something creative. And many oftentimes, including myself, feel, oh, I need to get this one done first, or this is the step that, you know, or this is going to make the most revenue right now, or this is where my clients are, so I'm going to stick with this, even though my heart is showing me this bigger vision. So I'm really excited to explore that today on why we as humans do that when we ultimately can see this really exciting big picture that gets us really excited in our heart. And how, you know, inspire you and empower you through our realized vision and our manifestations sitting here today talking to you in the loft of our house on our podcast, inspire you to leap into that place to create your biggest desire and your manifestation.
Because we had this conversation a couple of days ago, and then I actually made some notes. We were watching something. We watched a movie, right? We watched a movie, and in the movie was a story of the person who was having many great talents and great ideas and doing it already in a way, but in a very small way, not really going full out, not really going all in, not really sharing all of his visions and creations and ideas and bringing it to many people and sharing it in a big way. You know, he was doing it in subway stations, doing little tiny shows there, you know, instead of bringing it eventually to a stage and to many more people. So the common notion is what we realized inspired by the movie is that, you know, so many people have great talents and they might not bring them out into the world. They might not bring their gifts into the world, and it's kind of sad. And so why is that? Like, what's holding us humans back? And that's a great topic. We are excited to explore in this episode.
Yes, very excited to explore this topic because the movie really impacted us both quite a bit and made us kind of contemplate and ruminate on why, for example, each other, why we have some of these big dreams and we're sitting on it, for example. Is it timing? Is it limiting beliefs? Is it, you know, it's a variety of different ideas and programming. And we're here to explain that, to uncover some of the things that we've also felt, perhaps they resonate with you, and to empower each other to go for it, to do the big dream, the big goal, because essentially, I believe that's why you're here. That's why you're in this human body having this experience. You're here to push through those barriers and limiting beliefs to go into the place that creates the most joy for your heart and you have the most fun, you feel lit up.
Yeah, I think that's the moments we all strive for, and these are the moments that many people also are missing in their day-to-day lives or in their work, or at least they're missing them, and to some extent they would love to have these moments. And I think inspiration is not the issue from my perspective.
Yeah, I think inspiration is, we have that, right? We can see the big vision.
Today, I think it was like a different question many, many decades ago, where you didn't really have so much transparency and you couldn't really see what people in other countries and other cities are doing, like what other people, how they would live and what they would do and their lifestyles. But now, since everything with the media got so transparent and so multi, like international and global, you could see how anyone is living anywhere and what many people are doing and different lives and different perspectives, religions, lifestyles. You can see all these different things, like a huge spectrum of humanity.
So I think with this open source reality that we live in, where we're able to go on Instagram, watch YouTube, you know, see these different visionaries and creatives and artists putting their heart out there, is it this feeling sometimes of not having the resource, for example, to do what they do? Oh, that's possible for them because they had XYZ, or they had this mentor, or this path. Or are we able to go into that field of confidence within ourselves and say, I can do that as well? Because since we have the open source inspiration, we also have the open source resource.
I think it's different reasons. Two points to that. Number one would be that I think what we see, especially when we see people that quote unquote made it, they're already big and famous and or successful or whatever they in whatever field they are. One thing is that this, we see the huge big picture, which might seem very far away. And number two is that we don't see all the little steps that are necessary in between, which creates two challenges. Where number one is that it seems so big and so far away for us that we don't even attempt it. And number two is that even if we would have the confidence, we don't know where to start. So that's from my experience, even talking with many, many people and friends and people I work with, that they have the challenge of, yeah, where should I even start? Like, do you know the moment where you sit down or you, whatever you do in that moment, and or you watch something inspiring or you see something or you get or you brush your teeth, whatever it is, and you're inspired, you have ideas, and you have this like urge to create something, to do something, to put something into the world. You get a vision of what you want to do, and then you're like, wow, okay, well, I have so much energy, even because usually there's energy attached to it, right? For me, it's like that. I feel inspired, I feel energized, I feel ready, okay, you know, let's do it. And then, okay, wow, where do I even start? Like, what should I do now? Like, how can I bring this out into the world? How can I create what I want to create? Like, where should I even start? I think that's the biggest challenge for many people.
I agree with that. That is, for myself included, you know, I float in the ocean. So for me, it's not sitting somewhere. For me, it's floating in the ocean. And that's how I get my visions and my ideas. And I'm really surrendered and open to source to move through me with, you know, asking those questions. What should I do next? Or how do I birth this out into the world? I want to create these trainings and, you know, lots of different ideas. And the biggest question I receive, the biggest question I ask is, okay, show me clarity. Where do I go next? And I think that if you're really receptive as a person, you're really receptive, you can feel signs come in that direct you on that path. Like, show me the next podcast I need to listen to, or the next training, or bring me the mentor that's going to help me get to the next step. And then open yourself up to receiving support. I think a lot of times we feel that we're solo on this mission and it's challenging.
Yeah, or that we need to have all the answers.
Yeah, or we need to do it fast. That's another limiting belief, that we need to do it right away. Like, got the idea, okay, execute.
So I think that's the first great step to be more open and even ask if you go to from a spiritual level, like say, okay, universe, you know, bring me the people that I need to meet right now. You know, bring me the give me the signs, that, you know, bring me the course that I'm supposed to watch and learn, you know, these kind of things. And still, I would say my point from before is still there. It's like, where do you want to start? And then also, yeah, what do you do? Like, and creating a structured step-by-step plan and having some sort of strategy. You know, this strategy can include of being open and manifesting that you meet your mentor that is the perfect mentor for you, or that you receive the next sign of what exactly you should do. But at least you got to have a strategy with some action items.
And also, it's so important when you mention mentor, it's so important to have guidance on the path. whether it's a mentor that's an actual physical person that's guiding you step by step, or having a course or something that's giving you accountable action steps and you're following a path, right? Sometimes we are more easy to teeter off into the unknown. I know, for example, for you, you've taken many different courses with Abundance, with your music mentorship course. And for myself too, also doing so many different teacher trainings for yoga and for breathwork, and having an outline to get me to where I need to be for that next step is so important.
This can actually be a tricky thing.
Yeah.
Because what I think is, it can be such a, what's it called? Like a trap? Like a trap.
Can be.
It can be a trap, like a spiral. Whereas
Learning.
You think you need to learn more and do more and learn this more. And first, okay, before I do videos for YouTube, I need to learn how to cut my videos. And then I need to learn the audio and then into lighting. And then I actually need to do a whole photography course. And then I need to do like a this and this. And then you kind of use it also as an excuse, maybe, for if you have other underlying reasons why you, let's say, you're not confident or you don't really believe in yourself. And then you look for these reasons why you can, you know, like more easier, not so quote unquote shameful reasons that you can find to put it off. So it's like this trap of this spiral. Okay, another course, add another course. Oh, and then I need to know this and this and this. And I need to know all this before I even start with the first thing. And that can be a trap. So much more is it like kids do, they just go do something and they don't even know what they're doing. And then they figure out the next step and they mess up and they fall down and they get back up and they figure out whatever they have to learn on the journey. So it's not they learn everything and then finally they go out of the house and then do this. No, they just do it and then they figure out what they need in every single moment of this journey, whatever they want to attempt.
That's such a great reminder too about bringing play and fun into, like we talked about last episode, is bringing the fun and the journey into the creation. So it's not so much about the end result of being the, musician on stage or whatever the goal is. It's having that fun along the way of experimenting and launching things. If you're an entrepreneur, launching things and putting music out there, even if it's not perfect, you know, putting your heart and soul out in a video that may not be professionally produced. I know that's a limiting belief for me that I need to put out only professionally produced content.
Yeah, I mean, I think we all quote unquote guilty of that. Even me, you know, I still have a meditation I created based on one of my songs I published, and it was just sitting there for a long, long time and still not published for different reasons, you know. And then sometimes you wait for other people and you wait for direction and you want to do it perfect. I mean, in that example, literally, I wanted to learn how I can mix and master songs and meditations and produce them myself, which was a learning curve. And then I wanted to do it like perfect because I'm an artist, you know. I'm not a meditation teacher. So in my mind, I was like, oh, if I'm a musician and I have my other songs like really professionally produced by a producer and recorded in a music studio and all that stuff, so then everything I put out has to be on that quality level. So that's why I said, okay, if I don't want someone else to do my meditation, then I got to do it myself. So I went to do this whole thing, learning production and learning mixing and mastering. And for those of you that are not in the music industry, these are all different steps and even different professions where you have literally people that only do mixing or mastering of a song. And I, you know, learned how I can do all these things by myself, probably never on that professional level, but at least you as a listener might not hear the difference so much.
And it's so interesting you say that too, because it's so empowering to learn a tool that then helps you launch into this path.
Yeah.
Without relying or having dependency on, you know, someone else to do it for you.
Yeah, which is also a tricky thing with the balance, because remember, for example, I mean, even you, like you, the other day, you asked me to help you film something, and then you tried to do something yourself, but at the end, it turned out that it was much better for you to have me help you with that. So I think it's always a challenge to find a balance because you for sure you should never do everything yourself. I'm pretty sure I learned that because I did that for many, many, many years. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it didn't really result in the best outcomes necessarily. And also didn't result in me putting all my ideas into action. So I think that it's really good to find a balance of what is great for you yourself to learn, and to what extent? Because for example, just going back to the house we are in right now, that's a totally different example.
Oh, yes.
But it's still a good example because
it's a great example.
So I didn't attempt to just learn how to build a house and then build the whole house by myself, because then I'm, you know, not depending on someone else and I can do it all. And of course not. But at the same time, I learned so many different things in the details. Like I learned a little bit about electric and what you got to, you know, how you build electric lines and all the different switches and breaker boxes and cables and types.
Sexy
and
talk.
And I learned about the roof and different layers of the roof and different type of roofs. And I learned about so many different things. And I didn't learn them to just be able to do it myself. However, they're all really helpful, so I can at least communicate better with our workers and check in more what they are doing and even give them some ideas, and also make sure that we have workers that know what they are doing. Because if I have some basic knowledge, I can at least poke at them and be like, okay, do like some little tests. And when they throw around some words and some things, and okay, he took care of this detail, which is really important. So he has an eye for detail. He is probably very skilled. So it's great for me. It was great for me to see, okay, I can trust these guys. They know what they do. And then I can give them some more. I can let them do their work because they're the experts. They can do better than me and faster. But at least, you know, it gave me a bit more ideas. And I was able to actually make sure the house is built in a great way, you know, instead of just like trusting them blindly, not knowing anything about the...
Which is what I was doing before I met you.
Yeah.
And that's why it takes sometimes finding that partnership or that, you know, in relationship, yeah, figuring out where your strengths are. And if you're working on a project and you're working with someone, figuring out where your strengths are and where you like to shine and where the other person can come in and support. I think that's a big thing about knowing yourself, right? Like if you have this big dream and goal to do something, right? Having, you know, every recording artist, even my friends that are, you know, yoga superstars and they have their video teams, they have their media teams, and, you know, we're not meant to do all these things. We're meant to figure out the areas that we are most joyful in and we can shine and use our energy towards that. So a lot of the times, if we're not reaching that goal that we have, or we're not fully embodied in that essence of what we want to do, we have to ask ourselves, we get to ask ourselves, where am I spreading all my other energy out? Because that sometimes is a reason why the goal isn't getting completed.
Yeah. And I think it's really a key question to ask yourself, okay, so what are my skills and what skills are required to do whatever I like to do, like whatever project or vision I have or idea I have, and then really decide and draw a line between, okay, what do I want to learn? What would be beneficial to learn, in which depth, and where do I just look for people that can support me? And sometimes it might be as simple as asking some friends for some help, you know, and sometimes you might even get a freelance or something. But, you know, especially at the beginning when you want to start out and you maybe don't want to invest a lot of money or pay people, then, you know, just do, you can also do skill exchanges. That's what is very common here. You know, you help a friend with this, he helps you with that.
I love that.
You
know, yes. In Costa Rica.
This can be super creative, you know.
Yes.
You can literally, if you're a photographer, you just get a massage by a friend and then you make photos of the friend and then it's a deal, you know. These kind of things.
It's they a don't new need currency. To be related. I love that. It's so familiar to us here in Costa Rica. Any of you are wondering where we're
exactly
broadcasting
it's like
from.
Going back to trade currency,
yeah,
which helps, especially at the beginning when, for whatever reason, either you don't have the funds to invest a lot of money in your idea, or you maybe just don't want to do it at that point. So then just find some creative ways to get that support.
I think that also brings us into the topic of where we make excuses, right? Like many people, including myself, have said, okay, well, I can't do this right now because I don't have the budget. I don't have this right now. If you really want to do something, you find a way that you put that money into that project, or you do those trades, or you figure out a way to get that done.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, what I would do in my coaching sessions with people that want to get direction and find out, you know, how they can put their ideas into action, I would do exact same thing as in asking these questions, and then they would tell me their quote unquote excuses, and we would work with them to find out what actually is an excuse and what's the underlying deep down underlying reason, you know, what's the real thing? Like, what's the real root cause for that person not starting
it? Okay, this is a great idea to do right now live. So I'm going to put myself on the spot and you on the spot. Yeah, because you do this to me with me all the time is that you've said, oh, that's an excuse, right? I say, oh, why I haven't done this or why I haven't done that, right? Mm-hmm. Okay, so I am so excited to launch a group, finally, to launch Embodied Voice Breathwork as a group training online, though I haven't done it yet. Maybe by the time this podcast is up, that's only a week from now. But, you know, why I make these excuses for myself about recording myself on camera and recording all the content. And I've been putting this off since I developed this method years ago. So, coach.
Coach.
And my love.
Okay, so we know what you want to do. You know what you want to do. You have a clear vision. And so what would be the next step for you?
The next step would be to actually just sit in this beautiful house that we built and record videos.
So do you have everything else you need to know? You have a clear plan of what you exactly want to do, what kind of chapters you have, what kind of videos you have, what themes, like the structure, the whole outline for the whole program?
I have the structure. I have the everything written down. My limiting belief is that I don't know, number one, that I don't have a good phone to record the content.
Yeah.
And number two, that I'm not, so back in my yoga days, and you've heard me say this, I had my video team and my professional videographers that would make gorgeous content for me. And then I would sit in front of the camera, they'd have it all set up with sound and I'd be mic'd up and I was ready to go. And I got my class recorded in one take and there it was. And I felt very confident doing that because I had a team that handled the behind the scenes and the camera, right? So my goal is to produce a training online that is in the same vibration, that's professionally done and beautiful, that people will watch and be inspired by where it is and that is high quality, right? I want to put out my best. So my limiting belief is that me setting up the camera and making sure the sound and the angles and the tripod's straight and all the things, my limiting belief is that I'm not good at that. Putting it up and setting the whole thing up and making sure it all records correctly. So,
but do you think that would be worth to learn?
Could be.
I'm not talking about the whole crazy, like, professionally video editing. I'm just talking about, you know, a person that has a really good camera.
I do. And he happens to be sitting in front of me with his shirt off.
So you can, and it's also not very complicated. So what if you would learn how to use that camera just to make videos and get an eye for details of like setting it up on the stand, on the tripod that you also happen to have?
Yes. Okay. Yeah, so this is a perfect example because I have this belief system that I need to be supported full on by a team to be able to do it, though empowering myself can actually be quite fun.
Yeah.
And I still have an amazing, sexy partner who can help me edit the videos if I ask.
And we can find Trace. You give me stretches.
Oh, yeah. Like, see, that's the thing. Okay. We just workshopped it right here for everyone. I'm going to give Maxime Marlowe more stretches than he already gets.
But honestly, I think this is super simple. It was such a simple example. I don't know if there might be more to it.
I think there also, my limiting belief is that, you know, me setting up the camera and then I have this belief system that because it's happened before with videos that I try to create and they're not as good as if I send them off somewhere and, you know, someone's reviewing them, they're not as good quality, you know, than when I had this professional team that I paid for and I invested in and I had, you know, someone with this epic gear and mic'd up and, you know.
Do you think it will make an impact for the person watching your sessions? Do you think it will make an impact what resolution the video is in? If the person can see what you do and understand your words, and it might be a little bit blurry or the lighting is not so great.
Yeah, it's better than
Will
Zoom.
It have an impact for that person?
Yeah, I really believe so, especially because so many people, you were saying this as well, this point is important, especially for a lot of people, like content creators. Many people have this limiting belief that I have as well. And so many people at the same time are posting content on Zoom and charging quite a bit for.
So you even saw examples
even
like that.
Seen so
but
many
so my
examples.
question was, will it have an impact in the sense of not being as helpful for them or valuable.
I think it will be. I think it's my own limiting belief on perfectionism.
Well, then the answer would be no.
Yeah. No.
And the answer would be that you think it will not have an impact on how helpful it is for them, because they can still hear you and see you. It just doesn't look as poppy with the colors, you know?
And I think I could get it there. If I'm so computer savvy,
yeah, but even as I'm,
think it's
I'm
possible.
Just saying, even if it doesn't really matter.
Yeah.
And the second question for yourself would be to ask yourself, okay, you talk about high quality and great quality and professional. So what does that mean for you? Like what's some people, and I know from experience and sessions, some people set yourself the bar so high they will never be able to reach it. If they say it needs to be professional high quality, it will never be there. They could actually then go to high professional teams and have them do it, and they would still say, oh no, this is something off, and this, I don't like that, and this, because exactly the reason is not that, it's something else.
I think underlying there is this fear of when you put so much time and work and effort into something. For example, like I put a whole training together, right? What the fear behind, will it actually be as impactful as I believe it's in?
Yeah, let's get naked, you know?
Should I take my clothes off too?
No, I'm just saying that now we're getting closer to the actual point. And it's a good point. It's understandable, right?
Yeah.
So you have, it's a great example. I'm very happy we do that. So you just said the camera thing is probably not really the thing, and the quality and all that stuff. It's not the real issue. And we don't have an issue anyway. It's not the real underlying thing. It's not the real reason why you didn't start doing it. It's more because one thing, for example, you said that you fear that if you put so much energy and time into something and at the end it might fail because no one really wants it, you know, it's maybe not helpful for people, it's not selling, all these things. And then you said maybe it feels better for you to put it off and don't do it because of the risk.
Yeah.
Right?
I think for myself, it's talking through it makes me more eager to just do it.
Yeah.
And prove myself wrong, right? Like prove the limiting belief that no one's gonna do this online embodied voice. Cancel. Because I know that people will. I mean, because I've trained so many people in person one-on-one that have also said, wow, if there was an online version of this, I would do it.
And you know what the other thing is?
What?
Connected to our last podcast, for everyone that didn't hear it, go hear it. Because it's important. Because now this connects to your point. We talked about one part of the last podcast. It was we talked about goals, and we talked about the pursuit versus the journey, the pursuit versus the goal, like the journey versus the actual goal. And this is like, so your fear is essentially your fear about the result is after you put it all the time, after you're done with quote unquote your project and your idea, after that's finished and you put it out into the world, your fear is that then the reaction, like maybe no one really wants it, or maybe not many people want to do the course. So understandable how you can solve that. You know how you can solve that?
What?
One simple thing.
Tell me.
If you actually love the journey and if you're excited doing it and if you have so much joy with everything you record and you do, then it doesn't really matter so much if the risk is still there that maybe not many people will want it.
Yeah.
Because then you don't have anything to lose. You can just start do what you love, and ideally, many, many millions of people will love that too, will love the results. And if not, then at least you had a great time doing it.
Yeah, I completely relate to that.
So that was what you talked about in the last podcast, right?
I think that totally makes sense of, you know, for the breathwork episodes that I created and I posted on Spotify and Insight Timer, I did just create that because the fact that I love making these breathwork journeys and producing some music together and I love doing that. That when I started putting those out there, I had no intention of anything other than that it was fun for me and I wanted to share this method and inspire people and open up their voices and their hearts. And then over a year later, I published these meditations on Insight Timer and I finally started looking at the reviews. And people are...
You didn't even see it in the beginning.
I hadn't even seen them before, so I wasn't even focused
on... There were many.
Exactly.
And
so
you
many.
Even got donations.
Yeah.
Like Insight dozens of donations and people that commented that you... I mean, I know that because she showed it to me a couple of days ago. So yes. That was so beautiful. And it's a good sign, right? I think it's like what you're saying is that also just felt effortless. It's another great sign. Whatever idea,
effortless.
Project, vision you have, if what you do, at least the core part, I understand there are things around that that might not feel like that, but the core part, if it feels effortless and easy for you, that's probably just because you're meant to share these things. So that's like, for example, with you, where you have these guided meditations that you can just sit down any moment, anywhere, and create a whole new guided meditation because it's so easy for you and you're so connected to just to let the words flow out of you. That's awesome. And another thing I remember, you did a 21-day course or something program.
I made this 21-day course.
Yeah. You got inspired by another woman you saw to do it in a group only via voice messages, right? And I was amazed by that because I thought, wow, this woman that you also showed me, she has like a huge success by doing these online groups, online programs, right? Where people are members, and then all she does is shares her wisdom and her guidance and her content in simple audio messages via the phone. So that's, I was like, wow, this is amazing. You can do it? Like, this is so incredible.
And that's the thing. It's taking away those barriers sometimes and saying, okay, if making videos is too complicated for me, can I do it by audio? No one's stopping me, right?
I mean, that's why we don't make a video right now, because we thought, hey, if we also want to make a video, then we got, you know, right,
we
got to
wear some clothes, Maxime.
Yeah, that's from the last podcast too. But no, then you need to find another space, and then the lighting, and then put the camera up and edit the video and publish it. It's a whole different thing. So we thought, no video for now, just audio.
Yes.
But what I found amazing about that other example is that, yeah, sometimes you think, oh, you need this and this and this and this. And then you showed me that example of that woman that just does the simple audio messages where you don't even need to have any microphone, nothing. It's just use your phone. And you started doing it too, and it worked well for you because it was easy, right? It was super easy for you to share the actual content. And you just found the most easiest way for you how you can actually do that technologically. And that's brilliant.
And I think that's a great example too, is look at people that you look up to and see what they're doing and see how they started and what they're using to, what tools, what technology they're using, and start to play around. Just play around with it and see what's received by people and see what creates the most joy for you.
Yeah, and look at the full range of people that do things. Because you can, yeah, now you can go and look at the people that are the super professional that do this for like 20 years and have the whole studio set up and all that. And you can say, yeah, well, you know, that's how they do it. I don't have that. I don't even know if I will ever get there. So I don't start. But yeah, please look at the full spectrum, okay? Look at the people that are doing it in different ways, in a more minimalist way. Look at the most professional, most thorough way, and then look at the most minimal way. And also what's cool, I saw a video couple of weeks ago of someone, and she shared some information about some really big creators. It was a video about the biggest like creators, online creators, and then YouTube creators, like that have millions of people following them and all that. And then she mentioned one of them that did his first video like, I don't know, 7 years ago or something, and then it took 5 years or so until the first video that got like some more substantial more amount of views. So like these kind of stories, they're also helpful, because then you see, okay, well, you know, you can set the expectations for yourself. For example, for me, I started my YouTube channel finally, also after putting it off for a long time, actually, to be honest, for years and years, because I didn't really know like different reasons what I exactly should do and all that. So I started, and when I started, and I'm glad that I started now, because I started with the right expectation for myself, knowing all these examples, stories, journeys from other people that start fresh, that create new accounts, that start anything new. My expectation was that no one is watching my videos. Like, not to manifest that myself, but I mean, okay, I was hoping that some more people would watch it, but my expectation was, okay, I'm fine, whatever happens. Literally, that was my starting point was, okay, if I do this now, if I publish videos, if I create something, I'm fine, whatever happens. I'm fine if there are 5 people, 10 people, 20 or 2 million, I'm fine, you know? And I think that's really great for people to start like that, because many people, they do it and they expect to have like thousands of people watching within a couple of days, and it's not going to happen, and then they stop. They do one video and then it's over because they're so disappointed. So I think it's really cool to find something you love to do, and then do it with the expectation or with the goal that you find whatever happens. And then that's just exactly my journey right now. So I have three videos now, and you know, a couple of people watch them, but I had so much fun doing that. It was so easy for me. It's still some time, of course, but I just sat down, I had an idea and a topic, I was talking about it, and I really felt called to share these things. I really feel called to share more of these things. It feels, there's something that feels fulfilling to me about that. So I just know it's the right thing for me to do it, and it doesn't matter right now how many people are watching. I just do it. I have fun setting up the camera and doing the lighting and do some color grading and have a nice video and find my spot at the beach. And, you know, I'm fun doing it, and I'm fine with the outcome.
I love that. That's the best part, is you're fine because you're basically doing what your soul is calling you to do. That's why I see when you go out to the beach with your camera bag and you sit down, you look happy. You know, it doesn't look like you're going to the workplace. You're not going to the office. You're just like going to the beach to say something inspiring that's coming out purely from your heart. Nothing rehearsed. No, I don't think you do a list of bullet points. Yeah. You just go for it. And that's really inspiring for people who want to just share.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah, that's coming back to the effortlessness that I reflected to you earlier today, where I know that's easy for me. I just sit down, I share something, and at least I know from some people that actually resonate with that, what I say. And so seems to be good, helpful for some people. So, and I feel it. I feel it when I talk about it. It comes so natural, and that's just a good confirmation for me to keep doing it.
I think that's perfect. When you feel that confirmation to keep doing it, just keep going, because that's when things start to take momentum, and over time, and that's why patience comes in. We start to realize that the whatever limiting beliefs were there don't even matter anymore. They don't make sense, mm-hmm. right? Like, you just start to get that momentum, and okay, there you are. So
yeah, and I wanted to share a personal example for me also, that before you started sharing, we went through this mini coaching here live. So I wanted to share one of my things where I'm also challenged, and that insight I got during the movie too that we watched. So I'm a musician, I do music, and that's kind of my story of the last couple of years. So I found out, so amongst the whole of changing my whole life, moving to Costa Rica, stopping what I did before, changing pretty much everything in my life, like most of the things, and finding out more what I really love to do and what I'm here called to do, which is music, and diving deeper into that and just noticing that I have such a unique connection to music, and I always had it. And I feel it in my body, it's in my heart, in my mind, I feel it. And I feel there's so much that wants to come out into the world. So I just feel, wow, like I want to bring so much out. There are so many melodies and things and the creation and inspiration. There's so much that wants to come out. And so, yeah, same here. Okay, how can I do that? So my challenge is to find my own way of how can I bring that out into the world. And for me too, sometimes it can be like even not even challenging, but more like frustrating or discouraging, because then I have these moments, like I said before, and you know, I have inspiration and I really want to create something. And then I sit in front of the computer next to my instruments, because I'm trying to produce or record something or write something, and I'm like, okay, what, like, I don't even know, like, where should I start? Like, how can I bring these things out? And then I feel, that is my personal thing, is that I feel kind of limited, like even technologically, because I'm not like an expert of producing. I'm still just learning that. And I think it feels like a barrier of like my art that I want to bring out to actually manifest it into this world. And that's kind of frustrating sometimes if I sit there and I really feel everything that's there that I want to bring out, but I don't know how. And it feels like there's like a wall between me in my body and the real world I live in, and to overcome this wall of bring my gift into this world. And and then sometimes it results in the fact that I just don't do it, then I just do something else, and you know, we have many distractions or other projects, other things, and that's why some of these things take me so long. And this also goes back to the earlier insight of learning when it actually makes sense for you to learn something, a new skill, to overcome challenges like that, and when not. And so I have this great example, because for me, I really found out that for me, the key is actually to learn more, to become more independent. I mean, I did one song with a great friend of mine, fantastic producer, really beautiful. And at the same time, I noticed that there's so much more I want to bring out. I have no idea how to put it into words. I don't know how I would even explain it to someone else. I think only I can do it. So, and I don't know if some of you know the guy called Jack Collier. He's a withered musician and a crazy, amazing guy. It's just, I don't even know how to describe it in words. But he just goes completely wild with everything. And what he does is some of the things are so crazy and just incredible. I don't think he would be able to do it if he wouldn't do it all himself. And that's what he does. He has his kind of like bedroom studio in London, and he learned to compose and produce and mix and master and all the things, the whole chain. He can do it all himself. He doesn't need to, and he does collaborations, but he can. And that was, for me, was like, okay, wow, I think I really need to learn how I can produce myself, how I can compose, and I can use all these online tools and things and record and stuff like that. So that's what I'm still doing. It's a longer journey, but I think in this case, it's worth it. And it's not because for whatever reason I want to put it off to publish more music or something. I worked a lot with myself to know I'm very confident. I believe in what I want to create and bring out. It's just that I have to learn to do these things myself, at least to a certain level.
That's amazing, because when you have that masterpiece finished, you can truly say, I did this. I created this. This was my vision, my art. And I think that's inspiring for me and for many people to really learn, to have that curiosity and that playfulness with learning, where, you know, you get whatever equipment you need and you start playing. You start enjoying some nights just playing and having a good time with it.
Yeah, and really finding some sort of routine, because I had some of the equipment for some things even before I met you. And so it took me, it took me 1 or 2 years to even.
I remember you still had that out. MIDI keyboard.
Yeah.
And when we first met, and I was like, oh, that's so sexy. I wanted to be with someone.
I just didn't have any idea what to do with it.
And now I'm really hoping that you'll train me on how to use that so I can use it for my breathwork session. Once you learn.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. I think sometimes all these things can seem pretty overwhelming. I think the strategy here is to do it in tiny pieces, you know, really break it down in the most small sub projects and mini steps and goals that you can do. And just like you said earlier, playfulness, not set yourself crazy like deadlines or something, timelines.
And look back at the earlier versions of you and the things that you put out there to the world from an earlier version of you, and with love. And to be like, look at that earlier version of me that was learning this. How cute I am, you know? I look at my older content with so much love and compassion, and I've resisted. I've at some points I was like, oh, I gotta hide this, delete it, archive it. There's something really magical about looking at your timeline and your growth and being proud of yourself for learning, for changing, and for shifting into who you are now.
That's generally a great idea. What I feel I do, I think we all could do it much more. Just reflect back and looking at how much I actually changed, how much I grew, how much I learned. Because we see each other from a day-to-day time perspective. And nothing really, from day to day, nothing really changes so much usually in the little things and in the big things. Like, there's not so much going on in a couple of hours. But when you start looking at a week and then like a month and a half year and 2 years, like that's where, you know, it's just like zooming out and wow, there's so many big, big jumps. But if we don't consciously set intention to reflect and look back, we only see the difference of us to yesterday, which is usually not very big. So that's a cool thing.
Yeah, definitely go back and check out your earlier content, your archives, and be proud of yourself and take a moment with that past self and then your future self, maybe in a meditation, and ask them to connect. You know, it sounds a little bit esoteric, though. If you can visualize your past self, your younger self, communing and having a heartfelt moment with your future self, what would they say to each other? What would they celebrate? You know, what you moved through, what you overcame to get to where you want to be, you know, in your future self, you know, seeing at the eyes of your past self, maybe your past self had a little fear or a little bit of trepidation. And if you can look at your future self and see, wow, what did it take to get there?
Do you have a guided meditation for this?
Ooh, I think it's going to come out. I think it's the next Pranamore meditation. Yeah, I have
good idea.
I have some similar ones, though not specifically on this. So let's put out a breathwork meditation and guided journey with some beautiful sound frequencies.
Because
I love that. That's our next one.
You know, why I was so called to do music and finally did it is because I had a dream of that. For example, you know, I had a dream, I dreamed about it, and then I started doing it more, and then more science came. Then I did some meditations, and I had some other big visions. Like, I just see myself on stage and these kind of things, and I check in with myself. And it's not because I want to be famous and a big star. It's just because it's just there. I don't know. I mean, I wanted to become a, when I was a child, I wanted to become, you know, like a soccer professional, you know, soccer star. You know, all these childhood dreams, you know. I also had some other really funny ones that are not so famous at all, but like firefighter and these kind of things. But of course, that's just dreaming sometimes without that foundation. But for me now, I learned like, okay, yeah, it's just there, you know, and I can, you know, fight against it, or I can just like, follow it and really like embrace it.
I love what you said about that, because it's so, you know, memorable what happened at Envision Festival when you and I were on stage. We had two of our friends next to us drumming and playing live music too. And we created this experience for, I don't know, maybe 500 or 600 people in this beautiful open air shala in the middle of the jungle. We were singing. And I remember at the end of this event, this experience, when we closed it was a cacao ceremony, live music, kirtan, breathwork. At the end, I have a video of this. We're singing Om all together. And then we finish, and the look on your face is priceless, of you enjoying so much being able to perform and sing in front of all these people. Like you ohmed, and then you sat there, and then you shook your hands a little bit, and you could feel that you had this heart energy, this pure heart energy of, wow, this is what I'm meant to do. I love this. You were lit up. I think that was a defining moment of your music experience.
Yeah, thanks for sharing. And that's so beautiful to hear that. And yeah, I think that's these are these moments where I can imagine how it felt. I cannot imagine. I can remember how it felt because I actually did it. I can remember how it felt. And yeah, of course, there are some stepping stones, you know. We did so many little, like, smaller performances and so much practicing in between, and then being on such a stage in front of these people, and that felt, was just really beautiful. And at the same time, and again, I think at the beginning might be some nervousness and these normal things, and like the setup and all these things that just have to be right. But then I think it just was like a super flow. It just felt like super effortless in that sense. It was just like so natural. And that's why, you know, okay, wow, I'm meant to do this. That's what I'm meant to do. Like, there are so many contrasts of what I did before, different stages of my life, and where I really like forced things and was like, okay, you know, grinding through stuff and work and projects. Some of them were also really cool projects and cool things, but was just not meant for me to do it.
Yeah, it's that again, being led by excitement, being led by what things really create. Yeah. Spark joy. I think there's a book about sparking joy.
And I think it's still normal that you have challenges. And not to say that you have tried to find the one thing where it's all easy for you and you don't have any. No, that's not what I mean. That's not what we mean. I don't
Correct.
Either.
Yeah.
So it's more the core of the things. Mm-hmm. The core of the things, feeling like that and being in that state. And then around that can be some other stuff that it's just okay to find your way through.
Exactly. So where do we go from here?
I think the final note could be, because we just talked about my kind of past life things and previous experiences. So I was active a lot in the startup space. And just to give you one example, some startups have an amazing approach to it. And some people, they have a different approach, which is some of them, they have ideas and then they want to like keep it private because they fear, oh, but if I do it now, if I share about the idea, if I do like a demo or something, if I do like a mini version and someone will see it and might steal it and then they do it, these kind of things, you know, where the common notion, at least of the people that are actually so successful, is that it's super beneficial if you have any idea, you know, just like get started, bring it out, talk about it, share it with people, and just to get feedback. Because if you keep things for yourself, you know, then you might be actually do what you feared to do earlier. You might be building something when you just started for like 2 years or so, and then you launch it and then no one wants it. Boom. That's a banger, right? So just share it as soon as you can. And that goes back to, for example, putting out your videos, your podcasts, your artworks, your stories, your ideas, your services, whatever they are, just start putting them out. And then look at some of the big successful content creators that look at their first videos. Their quality was really shitty, and you know, and they were doing it to learn also. And then you can get feedback, and you know, if you write songs, do music, whatever it is that you do, just share it. Like, get the confidence, bring it out, share it, and learn. And you can even do it in with that intention. So like, okay, I know this is gonna shape. This is not always gonna be this quality or like this or this service or this way. But yeah, just do share it and then share with people you're comfortable with first and your friends, and then tell them, here, I have these ideas. You know, like, just do share, bring it out to get feedback, to learn from it, to intentionally do it not perfectly and not done.
Exactly, and give a lot of, you know, for free. The generosity aspect of it too is, you know, especially from what I've experienced, is the more and more that I just put out because it feels so good to do that and it's free, then there, I don't feel like there's this pressure on the other side either. So you find that balance in the beginning when you're getting started or when you're creating anything new, right? Like, be generous, be over generous, give, and then you'll be led by the people who really love it. You'll be led into where to take it, and it takes a lot of pressure off your mind on where to go next.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I did, for example, when I started my freelance career at the beginning. I did projects where, you know, whatever they could afford, or, you know, just some for my portfolio, these kind of things. And I was getting better. I was learning. I was making connections. And that was a great start.
And eventually you get that confidence once you've had all of that track record to put a pitch together and really value yourself for your gifts and your time and the investment of your time that you gave in giving. You know, we did so many small events in our community and so many, yeah, you know, small things and, you know, weddings where we just played because it was friends and things like that. And you take a lot of that time, investment, currency, yeah, and then when you're ready, you charge for what you really, well, you know, you're worth, and you know you have so much experience behind you, so much confidence, so much joy. So just know that you can do quite a bit, you know, for friends and to get that confidence up. And then you know you're ready when you make those big pitches and you put the amount on the paper that feels like a stretch. It feels so good to receive that. And just go out there when you're going forward and know that those stretches, those leaps of faith are actually carrying you into your dream. To have that dream, taking us back to the original, is how do you get to that place you want to be? Eventually, you've got to take that leap and stretch yourself and put the price tag on it and put the, you know, the exchange that you want and pitch yourself to the platforms that you really, that's your dream, or, you know, put your artwork out there, your music out there, and, you know, ask for what you truly desire and ask for the support you truly desire. That's where it really comes down to it. Knowing your value and asking, you know, for those collaborations, for people that you really admire and you look up to, and trust that people will value your work and see you the way you see yourself.
Yeah. And again, just a reminder that it's okay and totally normal if you don't see all the steps already now.
Right.
It's really like, if you have one step, fine. You don't need more. You don't need more than seeing one step. And then you can see the next one. And then maybe you see two steps. And then see the next one. So that's all you need. You never need to see the whole pathway, the whole staircase. All you got to see is one step, your next step.
And it's really important to have a consistent practice, whether that's breathwork, meditation, journaling, creation, a daily devotional practice where you are in that space with source, with spirit, to get those answers. For me, that's breath work, and that's floating in the ocean. That's where my mind is so quiet that spirit can reach me in a place that I'm not in this place of thinking, in a thinking mind.
Yeah, for me, it's all the moments. It's all the moments in between things. It's like when I'm washing dishes, when I'm brushing my teeth, when I'm showering, when I'm walking somewhere. Like all these moments where I'm not distracted, quote unquote, or occupied with other things, where I have empty space. I call it empty space. It's just because I'm not doing anything else. I'm not listening to anything. I'm not like feeding myself. I'm not having any other input. And it's just like autopilot, washing dishes, brushing teeth. I don't need to do anything. It's just free space for all the things to come to me, for ideas, for reflections, for next steps, guidance, signs, all these kind of things.
So that's a big takeaway for everyone listening. If you already have this empty space, floating time, sadhana, rituals, devotional practice, amazing. Your stretch is to create more of that, to do something else that you can add and refine in that's going to take you to this dream with even more momentum.
Super powerful.
Yeah, super powerful. If you don't have a practice yet, reach out to us as well, because we have led these weekend retreats called Life as Ceremony, and we give rituals and practices for those who are looking.
Ideas,
yeah. It's so beautiful. Giving you different types of practices. So definitely reach out if you don't have a practice and you would like to be inspired by us.
Yeah, again, also saying that it can be as simple as not having a practice and using the practice you have that you're not aware of, which is brushing your teeth, washing dishes, going out with your dog, these kind of things that is really simple, you know.
Very simple.
And free space. Yeah, so I think the common notion again is that so many of us, we have all different kind of talents and ideas and gifts that we can share with the world. And it's beautiful. It's so, so beautiful. That I think it's one of the things that makes us humans so special, is that we have so many gifts we can share and so unique. And it will be so awesome to see more of that coming into this reality.
Absolutely. The world really needs that right now. So let's all take a moment of a deep breath to lift us all up to that confidence and that courage to move into this next level, next version of ourselves that can be of more service, more impact, more express, more alive, more fulfilled, so much more fulfilled. So take a deep breath and really let that move through your body and embody that on the exhale, really embody all of that. And so there we have it.
Yeah, so I think that's a great way to end this episode. And I would encourage all of you listening here to share with us. Share with us is if you have anything that comes up for you, if you have any thoughts, if you have any challenges, like share your personal challenges. And then we can do the little example of what we did in the podcast. We can do it in the comments, or, you know, like, or even in a one-on-one, just, you know, reach out to us, connect and share. It would be super cool to get more like a communal perspective on this topic.
Yes. And also we love inspiration for future episodes. A lot of our inspiration comes from watching movies or conversations over cacao or smoothie bowls, though we also really value what's going on in our community around the world. So reach out to us. We love to engage with you and communicate and connect. So we look forward to hearing from you.
See you next time, hear you next time, rather.
Oh, yeah. See you soon, somehow. Maybe
next week.
Maybe Costa Rica. Yeah.
And next week online.
All right. Next week online. Bye-bye. Ciao for now.